President Trump is planning a visit soon to the storm-ravaged Florida panhandle, but first, a political rally tonight in Ohio. He's also facing questions today about what his administration will do about the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, a critic of the Saudi regime, a regime that strongly supports President Trump.
The Washington Post reports today that Turkish government officials have told U.S. counterparts that they have not just video, but audio evidence that Khashoggi was tortured and killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Yesterday, the president said he was concerned that criticism of the Saudis would end business deals. Let's convene our Friday roundtable. Juana Summers is Associated Press national political reporter. She joins us this week. Hi, Juana.
Hi there.
And we also have Paul Kane, Washington Post congressional reporter. Paul, welcome to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Paul, we're going to start with you because your paper has been reporting deeply on your colleague, Jamal Khashoggi, a columnist for the paper. Let's listen to what the president said yesterday in the office, in the Oval Office, when asked about the Saudis.
They're spending $110 billion purchasing military equipment and other things. If we don't sell it to them, they'll say, well, thank you very much. We'll buy it from Russia. Or thank you very much. We'll buy it from China.
That was kind of a wince moment, Paul, for some people, putting business deals ahead of human rights. And your paper is also reporting about Trump's personal deals with the Saudis. For instance, they're booking in his hotels. Your sense of how that moment went over?
I think it went over like a lead balloon up on Capitol Hill. They had a bipartisan just dispute with Trump how he handled it. They were only a few votes short of blocking the Saudi sales earlier this year. So I think you could really have a problem up there if he continues to use this rhetoric.
How would that work? How can Congress do that?
They have started this Magnitsky Act investigation essentially, and which basically it's a really broad sweeping law that allows people that could compel the State Department and the administration to try and decide whether or not they did sort of commit this assassination. And if they find that that is the case, there's a lot of sweeping power that they could force a lot of sanctions on Saudi Arabia.
Let's hear from Republican Bob Corker of Tennessee, who basically accused Saudi Arabia of murder.
The intel points directly at them and them thinking about this in advance. I mean, I think they did it, and unfortunately I think that he's deceased.
So the news is looking grim, but an interesting factor of this is that both parties, lawmakers from both side parties, are really putting pressure on the president.
Absolutely. You've got Chris Murphy, a liberal from Connecticut, Bob Corker, Rand Paul. Rand Paul and Chris Murphy have basically been the two biggest proponents of trying to rein in sales to the Saudis. They're only a few votes away. And if leadership sort of breaks, then you could really see a big sweeping vote against Saudi Arabia.
Well, Juana Summers from the Associated Press, as all this was swirling, the questions about, when are we going to put pressure on the Saudis with Turkey saying that this happened in the consulate, that he was murdered. And as, speaking of swirling, Hurricane Michael was swirling towards the Carolinas, leaving devastation in its path in Florida. The president had lunch with Kanye West. Now, normally this would seem like a silly thing, but it was in the middle of this huge news cycle. I want to see how this fits in, get your opinion on that. He was wearing his Make America Great Again red hat, and he went on a several minute long defense of his friendship with President Trump, dropping the F-bomb in the Oval Office on one occasion. Let's listen to a little.
They try to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends, but this hat, it gives me power in a way. My dad and my mom separated, so I didn't have a lot of male energy in my home. And also, I'm married to a family that, not a lot of male energy going on.
Juana Summers, it went on for quite a long time. At one point, he embraced the president, leapt across the desk to embrace him. I thought, oh, my God, the Secret Service must have had a heart attack at that moment. But what do you make? Because the split screen showed the devastation of a hurricane.
Yeah, you know, the president at one point during Kanye West's extended monologue, he stopped for a second. He said, you know, that was quite something. And I'd have to say I agree. This was a really fascinating split screen. But I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is while you have these two kind of men who were born of reality TV and the starlight in this conversation, in the surreal kind of moment, they were also talking about policy. We heard them in this conversation talking about manufacturing, gangs, prison reform. You heard Kanye West actually contradict the president's statements from earlier this month about the controversial stop and frisk policy and whether or not that would actually be useful in the city of Chicago, which, as we all know, has struggled with crime. I do think, though, that we're still seeing what the death toll will be of the hurricane. We've obviously seen a number of been reported dead now, some really striking images of devastation. We're also 25 days out from the midterm elections. The idea that the president's sitting down with someone like Kanye West, I think, is very, very interesting strategically.
Well, talk just briefly about that, because we heard many African-American voices going on the cable shows decrying it because, well, and Don Lemon from CNN said it was a minstrel show. They feel that it's a black man being used by President Trump. There are others who have spoken up and said, hey, here's a guy, he has the right to, as African-Americans, we have the right to make our own decisions about who we are for or against. What's your sense of how that might have resonated? Because in the past, the President Trump has held up Kanye West as an example of how he appeals to the African-American community.
He has. And I think that we have to look at that against the backdrop of some of the things the president has said about his support among African Americans. He has claimed falsely on a number of occasions that he's won more black voters than Republican presidents and candidates in the past. And that's just simply not the case. He's also made claims, as my colleague Aaron Wack reported this week, about having made the black unemployment rate at its lowest ever. And while the unemployment rate among African Americans has dropped, whether or not that is all attributable to the Trump presidency is something that's in question.
Well,
and I think most economists would disagree with.
Dropped even further during the Obama administration.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that the idea that because the president is sitting down with Kanye West, that he would suddenly gain more African-American supporters or win more African-American voters to other Republican candidates, I just think that there isn't a lot of facts to back up that statement.
Yeah. I want to bring in what's going on with the stock market this week, because, you know, that could be an issue in the midterms as well, especially in terms of what it says about the broader economy. Yesterday on Fox and Friends, President Trump once again criticized the Federal Reserve for raising interest rates three times so far this year, and that's one of the reasons why the stock market was going down this week.
You know, the Federal Reserve is getting a little bit too cute, that's all. That's ridiculous what they're doing.
Paul, thoughts how this will affect the midterm?
The reality is the economy has just not played a big role in this election. It is doing well, but whether it's better than improving at a better rate than under Obama, that's all up in the air. But the reality is the economy is doing well, but it still hasn't been a big issue for Republicans on a positive level. So I don't know what the stock market, if it continues to crash, whether that would then create another bad sentiment. It's really hard to know, because it's just been a weird election in which the cultural issues keep dominating and overcoming anything to do with the economy.
Hey, you know, I said this last Friday and I say it again. Just a few weeks ago, an anonymous member claiming to be – well, the Times also claimed it was a member of the Trump administration, wrote that anonymous letter in the New York Times saying that they were – you know, they were running the show and that President Trump could not. And that's gone, you know, from our conversation. But entering into the conversation this week is civility. After the brutal, bruising Kavanaugh battle, Republicans leapt on Hillary Clinton for saying this on CNN.
If we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
And then you had former Obama Attorney General Eric Holder kind of making a play on Michelle Obama's 2016 mantra.
But Michelle says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them.
Okay, so Holder later clarified. He said, no, we just have to be strong. That's what I meant. We don't physically hurt somebody. But Trump warned Holder better be careful for what he wishes for. Well, the right is seizing on this, Juana. They're just seizing on this as an example of how it's the Democrats that are being uncivil in what some saw as, you know, Brett Kavanaugh actually being the attack dog during the confirmation hearings.
That's absolutely right. We've heard a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill make this argument, right, particularly about the protests and uproar around Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings. They've talked about being shouted out of restaurants, having people show up at their doors. One Republican member of Congress talking about abusive and harassing text messages that his spouse got. So Republicans have certainly tried to do this. It reminds me, though, back of 2010, 2011, when Democrats used some similar language about civility when it came to the Tea Party, when it was on the rise ahead of the 2010 elections, really.
Yeah. And each side, there's a lot of finger pointing on each side. Juana Summers, Associated Press national political reporter. Paul Kane, Washington Post congressional reporter. We have the weekend coming. You know, maybe there'll be a break in the news.
Maybe not.
Not happening. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.